The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. The prophets in the Old Testament were sent to the people of God, often to warn them of what not to do, not to worship idols, not to become like all the nations around them, but to be a special nation set apart for Almighty God. There's another refrain that often came from the prophets of the Old Testament, one that probably sounds a little bit strange to our ears today. Oftentimes, the prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah were sent to the people of Israel to tell them, "Remember that the Lord your God is a jealous God." Of all the attributes of God, I don't think him being super jealous would be on the top of our list. We would think of him as being good and generous and loving and forgiving and merciful. But jealous seems like it's a strange way to describe God and his relationship to us. But I think what the prophets were getting at is that God isn't satisfied with just a little bit of us. Not satisfied with just a little bit of our love or devotion. In some ways, he's not just satisfied with kind of one day of the week as if only on Sundays we are his followers. But he kind of wants to have everything. Again, not because the rest of our life is bad or anything like that, but because he's jealous. His love actually wants to be poured into every single part of our lives. There's no part that he doesn't want to touch and transform. I think that idea of God being a jealous God actually helps us understand what Jesus is doing with his apostles in today's gospel. Because I always tell people it's important to listen to what Jesus says and not what he doesn't say. It doesn't say in today's gospel that you should hate your father and mother, son or daughter, or your family in order to be my disciple. What he simply says is the love of those good things, the love of our family, is actually meant to point us towards the greatest love. It's meant to be something not that we cling to as the ultimate good, but to see our relationship, our reliance on God as the thing that ultimately fulfills us in this life and in the life to come. And so for Jesus, he wants his apostles to realize this kind of jealous and ever-spreading love of God the Father, that there's nothing that he can't use in order to take us deeper into his divine love. I think that's why he uses this moment as the first time to mention the cross in the Gospel of Matthew. That up to this point, he hasn't told the 12 or any of the disciples anything about the cross. And we hear the cross, we think of Jesus conquering sin and death, that great expression of love for us in his death and resurrection. But at the time that Jesus is saying this to the 12 apostles, they would have no sense of that. They would have just seen the cross as an instrument of torture that every once in a while they would walk by and see, well, there's some bad criminals that the Roman government is mad at, so they've been crucified and put to death. That's all they would know the cross as. But it'd be pretty striking, it'd be pretty shocking, I think, for them to hear that Jesus tells them that they have to take up their own crosses and follow after him. But I think what Jesus is trying to prepare them for is not just to do difficult things. It's not just to think that, well, sometimes as disciples of Jesus, we're going to have to encounter life and that's going to be hard and we have to kind of persevere and keep going. Instead, I think he actually wants to prepare them to see when he is on the cross as a great act of love. That throughout Jesus's life, he's kind of been growing this sense of love for all of God's people. Not just for his own family, not just for his disciples or the people that were around him supporting him, that on the cross, he's expressing a love for the whole world, for all people, especially people stuck in sin, those that are far away from God and separated from him. And for Jesus, preparing for the cross isn't just about being able to endure and get through things that are hard, but it's about saying, Lord, help me to love that much. How many of you be ready to love even in moments of suffering and pain? And in those moments, I don't focus on asking God why I have to endure this or why this has happened, but instead to see it as a chance to expand my relationship to the Lord, expand my love for God and my love for my neighbor. I think that's what the prophet Elisha is trying to do in this first reading. That there's this woman that's been infertile and Elisha keeps coming and visits. So they make this nice little place for Elisha to stay at whenever he comes by. And he wants to give something back to her. So he asks what would be good. And one of her servants says, well, she doesn't have a son and she would like a son. She's probably been wondering throughout her whole life why this infertility has been thrown upon her and her family. And I don't think Elisha shows up just to kind of snap the God fingers and show her that God can do great things. He wants her to know that God does provide for her, but also that even in that suffering, even in that cross of infertility that she has had to bear, God didn't want her to just survive and get through. Instead, he wanted to use that as a way to expand her ability to love, hopefully to desire that child all the more and to love it once it came into the world. But also hopefully to expand her love for her husband. Maybe expanding her love for her neighbors and the people and the needy around her. But I don't think I would say that God forced her to be infertile or to not to have any children. But he would use that in order to help her to love better. So that when the prophet Elisha comes, she's able to provide this dwelling for him. But also that once that child arrives, she's able to love even more generously. That her heart in a way has been opened up by this jealous God who's never satisfied with just a little part of our lives, but actually wants to invade everything that we have and lead us to eternal life. When I was on the Camino about a month ago for 10 days in Spain, I was kind of removed from just the daily life here at Christ the King, not having to worry about, you know, saying mass every morning or how I was going to do that or who's going to do this and do that during the summer, how we're going to do something during the school year. And as I got removed from that, I just felt like the Lord continued to remind me to seek the things that are eternal. Actually look for the things that last. And as I was walking those 10 days, I kept just thinking of all the time that I've spent focused on stuff that doesn't last. Worried about making the grass grow or making sure that the plumbing's all fixed at school. Making sure the roof gets fixed. That's why there was those big blowy things at the beginning of Mass this morning. Always worried about maybe our teachers or if we're doing this or that for certain students. Worried about the budget or different thing like that. It's so much of my time and effort is focused on those things that don't last. Again, there aren't things that I can just ignore and act like if I don't look at them that they don't exist. But I think the Lord was inviting me to see those things should only be as important as things that are temporary. He's inviting me to say, Father Devin, do you actually seek the things that last? Do you actually notice in your priestly life those gifts that God our Father offers to me? Do I actually receive those well so that he can fuel my love for his people? Do I notice the times that I can go and care for those that are sick or dying? Am I open to spending that time with families as they mourn or prepare for a funeral? Am I helping families in their marriage or preparing them for the sacrament of baptism? Am I actually doing those things that are going to make an impact for eternity? Or am I so kind of bombarded by those daily things that I actually miss the stuff that lasts? And I think what God was really trying to do with me in that moment was to open me up to his love, to realize that in those moments, again, it's not just about getting the right answer or having a better process for things, but actually growing in deeper love here for his people that I'm called to serve, but also a deeper love for God himself. That's what he wants Peter and the 12 to do in today's gospel. To realize that as he sends them out, there's going to be difficult things, but they have to grow and increase their love for God and their neighbor. But that's not something that is impossible. Instead, just as he's kind of grown that love in their lives up to this point, he can continue to help it grow as they go on as his disciples. And at the end of today's gospel, he shows them why that's possible. It's because God himself notices their needs and will provide for them. But this last line that talks about giving a cup of cold water to the little ones, it's really not about the apostles or Jesus' disciples caring for the poor. I think we usually hear it and we assume that, well, the apostles are supposed to be the ones that are going out and seeing the sick or the thirsty and the hungry and giving them what they need. But in the context of this part of the Gospel of Matthew, I think the little ones are actually the apostles. And when Jesus is sending these 12 out, he's saying, now you are the little ones, and when you go out and someone gives you even just a cup of cold water to drink, they will not lose their reward. Because God the Father will notice that and will give them what they deserve. But behind that is also the understanding that God will actually provide for them. And when they go out and try to have this generous love for the people in front of them, they don't have to just rely on their own abilities. They don't have to expect themselves to be the perfect imitation of Christ. Instead, they can know that God the Father will provide for them, will give them what they need, and they can then seek the things that are eternal. Seek that love that actually always goes deeper. It's never satisfied with just a little bit, but always wants to involve more of our hearts and more of our lives. Brothers and sisters, in this Holy Mass, let us pray that we can worthily receive this great gift of love that God offers us in the Eucharist. Let us pray that that generous love seeps into every part of our heart and our life. We won't be satisfied with just loving God a little bit. We'll be satisfied with just some of his love that we experience here and there or occasionally, but instead we will seek those things that are eternal. Seek that divine love of God our Father that can always go deeper in our lives and will always provide for us, no matter the suffering or circumstance we encounter.